Attendees and exhibitors are invited to participate in CHAD's 2015 Annual International Conference on ADHD that will be held November 12th through 14th at the Hyatt Regency New Orleans. Details about the annual conference are available on CHAD's website at chad.org/schedule. Don't miss this chance to learn and share information about ADHD.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight. The topic, reforming Section 504 plans for ADHD, and with us in our virtual studio is Ingrid Alprin, who's very much involved with CHAD and their policy committee. And the focus of tonight's show is to talk about how Section 504 was drafted. It has very, very good intentions, but not necessarily working the way I think it really was intended. And we're going to kind of highlight kind of what CHAD's doing to kind of help, bring some parity to this and make some sense. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, November the 4th in the year 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A few announcements real quick. 1 week from now, actually, I guess 8 days from now, the annual CHAD conference is going to take place in New Orleans, Louisiana. If it's not too late to get ready for that, to learn more information, go to chadd.org. Also, CHAD's really trying to get the word out there to raise awareness, eliminate the stigma, and to raise funds for CHAD programming. And so as a result, they're launching a social movement to mobilize its memberships, friends, and families with its 1 of 15 million campaign. This is basically to promote that 1 in 15 million Americans, or you are 1 of 15 American Americans, 1 of 15 million Americans that have ADHD, and they're encouraging people to go out on social media and make that declaration and share that. We encourage you to go to their Facebook page to learn more, share their post, and even promote yourself with regard to this. Also, ADHDfund.com is a crowdsourcing website used to raise funds for small-scale ADHD research studies worldwide. We encourage you to check that out. Again, tonight, our show is on reforming Section 504 plans for ADHD. Ingrid Alprin is in our virtual studio. If you listen to this show for a long time, you'll know that I'm a huge advocate of the advocacy that CHAD provides. In the inability for us to individually speak as one voice, CHAD comes together and does that for them and spends a lot of time on Capitol Hill advocating on behalf of those with ADHD. And this is an area that I think is very important. So we're going to shed some light on this and shed some insight. And I encourage you to listen and maybe even reach out to CHAD with some suggestions that you think that may be able to help. So this show was pre-recorded, and we're going to run the tape without further ado. We're here with Ingrid Alprin, who has practiced tax law in Washington, D.C. for many years. She's also raised awareness about ADHD and provided support to families coping with ADHD through her long-term work as a volunteer for CHAD and as a parent-to-parent teacher. She's also a board member and co-chair of the Public Policy Committee, as well as she also serves on the Finance Committee. In these roles, she brings to CHAD her expertise. She's developed as a tax attorney in legal research and writing and analysis of complex matter. And with that, Ingrid, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm happy to be here.
I'm thrilled that you're here, and I'm thrilled to kind of talk about our topic today, reforming Section 504 plans for ADHD. And, you know, to kind of tee this thing up is, in general, I think people, they're well-intended. I think, in general, governments are well-intended. I mean, the idea here is nobody's out to kind of get anybody, and laws are passed and regulations are passed because they're intended to go after and help some people. But all too often, there's an intention, and as it trickles through the system, it doesn't actually equate. It doesn't end up working maybe the way it did on paper, which is funny because I always say, you know, they play the football games, if you will, because the outcome is never what they thought it was. And we actually run experiments because they don't always turn out the way they are. And so sometimes regulations are passed and they don't end up impacting the people the way that they are. In Section 504, it seems to me from the people that I've talked to, research and individuals, is that when the tire hits the road, that is not necessarily providing the services that were intended. Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yes. Well, maybe this is the time for me to tell you about the survey that we did of our members.
Excellent.
We wanted to see what our members' experience was with Section 504, and we got 667 member responses to detailed questions that we asked them, revealing an overwhelming consensus that Section 504 is not working for students with ADHD.
Yeah, you can't recall any of the types of questions that they were asking, can you?
Oh, yes, I can. Well, the exact questions I actually don't have with me right now.
Just
but
the general categories.
We have some of the key findings were that parents had to go and get the evaluations. They had to have a private evaluation that which they paid for, which is not what the law requires. The law requires that the school look at the students and do child find, try to identify students who need to have more services under 504. And so the request for evaluation was almost always initiated by the parents. That was 86.8% of people who replied.
Wow.
Yes. And so most of them obtained a private evaluation to present to the school. And then 31.5% of parents were not notified of the school's decision for the eligibility for services. 74% were not aware that they could request a due process hearing at some time if the school wasn't doing what it was supposed to do under the law. And they're supposed to be given their rights written down in the pamphlet. 61% of parents indicated that the plans were unsatisfactory. 66.4% expressed problems with implementation of the plan. And while behavior and discipline concerns affect many students with ADHD, and about 56% of parents said that that was the case with their student, yet more than two-thirds of parents reported that the behavior was not being addressed in the 504 plan. And that's something that can definitely be addressed in the 504 plan. Now, this is another thing that's really interesting. There was no manifestation determination hearing or 504 meeting to determine if behavior was disability-related for 86.3% of students who were suspended for more than 10 days. And that is a major part of the 504 law, that if a school suspends a student for more than 10 days, it is required that they do what's called a manifestation determination to decide whether this behavior was related to the disability.
Wow. So I...
And the schools are not doing that.
Hey, why do you think that is?
I think that there's a lot of ignorance in the schools about what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there is funding, you know, there's not funding for 504 to schools, but This is something that any school that receives federal funding in any way, directly or indirectly, is required to do. They're required to enforce 504. So there's a lot of there's a lack of understanding of 504 itself, and there's a huge lack of understanding of ADHD. And
so,
that's where our committee comes in.
Hang on, I'm just making a note here. So what I'm hearing is it's required for federal funding, but I'm reading between the lines. It doesn't sound like there's any, like, this is earmarked. You know, we've done some research studies, and typically this is your budget to manage 504. It's just kind of wrapped into everything else.
That's right. There's no, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's not wrapped. I mean, there's no specific funding for it. That's number one. Also, if there's a lack of awareness or ignorance to that, you know, it's kind of hard to administer something that you're not aware of, and particularly if you're not very well funded for it. And then on top of that, it doesn't sound to me like there's any 504 police. In other words, if you're having some difficulties with your school, first of all, there's the political issues if you push back, because I presume that an individual could go to court against the school system. But talk about a barrier of entry. Number one is you're saying they got to go off and get their own assessments, which is kind of costing money. You got to spend the time and effort working with the schools to kind of do this. And if there's not working, it's upon you to hire the lawyers to go out there to advocate for your rights, which is, even if you won and the schools are paying for it, it's costing you time and money. And that just seems to me that it's a with the lack of the funding for it and no real police, then I can see why these numbers really make a sense, because there's, at the end of the day, there's not really an incentive for the school to comply with this stuff. Their incentive is to try to make it work within the resources they got.
Well, I think that's a good pragmatic understanding of it. On the other hand, it would be interesting to compare our results to the results of maybe a group where the disability is not quite as invisible as ADHD. I don't know if another group where there is not an invisible, if you will, disability, if they have the same dissatisfaction with 504. I actually went up to the U.S. Department of Education when they were having an anniversary celebration of 504. I think it was the 40th anniversary. And there were many different people with different disabilities represented that day, and many of them were really delighted with Section 504. ADHD is just not well understood. And some of the other sample parent comments we got on our survey results were on the implementation of 504 for ADHD is teachers refuse to comply with 504. We were actually told by the resource room coordinator, said a parent, that they all thought these were suggestions and optional but not required.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Teachers don't follow, or they say he doesn't need it because he's smart. Teachers have admitted they don't always follow the plan. They also just don't understand what's being asked of them.
Wow. Ingrid, do you have notes on that?
Well, I'll tell you, we do. We have an article coming out in the April issue of Attention Magazine with a summary of our survey. So for members of CHAD, they'll be able to read our summary of this survey.
I tell you what, I need to run to a break real quick, and I want to come back and comment on some of your comments, particularly the smart part. For everybody to learn more about CHAD and to learn more about their membership, and I encourage you to support CHAD in any way, shape, or form at any particular membership level, because having a strong CHAD is a strong ADHD community. Just go to chadd.org, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Ingrid and really the legislative space for Section 504. Before the break, we were talking about some results of a survey Chad had done about the plan. And Ingrid, you were commenting about how other types of disabilities might have a different experience. And I had a flashback. I did an interview a while ago with Jay Carter about accommodations in the workplace, and he does a lot of work in that area, and he articulated so well. When it comes to physical disabilities, companies are real good at that. They know what's going on, but when it comes to cognitive, not so good. Because it's difficult to see or touch and feel, it changes the game a little bit. And I remember working with him a little bit and talking about you need to understand what kind of accommodations you need and before you walk in, because the companies are going to have more difficulty with it. You also made a comment about smarts, and it's fascinating. We did a show a week or two ago with Dr. Thomas Brown from Yale about ADHD and IQ. And in that show, it was fascinating because, as Dr. Brown explained, that there's ADHD and IQ have nothing to do with each other. The same percentage of smart people in the general population is the same in the ADHD population. The issue is not how smart they are. The issue is those with ADD struggle with the execution of it. And that can create a real misunderstanding among the public, because if you see somebody that's smart, there's an expectation that that person can execute. And the interview with Dr. Brown was fascinating, because being intelligent at the end of the show, I actually realized, is almost kind of a curse, because it increases everybody's expectation around you that you're going to be able to perform, and increases the pressure. It was just kind of fascinating. So I just relate that back to this conversation that we're having. As if the teachers are out there and they're looking and say these people are smart, it adjusts expectations, and I can see how they might look at these things as more as suggestions or kind of things for them to interpret, and then things start to go awry, and we start to see the results that were drawn out in the survey. You want to comment on that? Any thoughts you want
to
share?
Well, I think that's a really big part of it, Jeff, is that people do not understand ADHD. As you said, they don't understand that it can affect, that it has nothing to do with intelligence. It has to do with how you use your intelligence. It makes it harder to use your intelligence. You have problems with organization, time management, prioritizing, getting started, maintaining momentum, slow processing, working memory. And that is what we're trying to explain to the United States Department of Education Office of Civil Rights, OCR. Our public policy committee has met with OCR twice, and we are specifically requesting guidance that would tell all public school superintendents in the whole United States how to administer Section 504 to address the needs of students with ADHD. We want them to understand that what is ADHD, and that students with ADHD have the kinds of problems in school that I just described a little bit, and that that 504 gives these students rights. We want the guidance to reaffirm the rights of students with ADHD under Section 504 regarding eligibility, services, and the kinds of accommodations they can get, and that the best practice guidance in the schools should also address the problems associated with ADHD, like organization, time management, and so forth.
So just pausing here for a second, we're talking about these things. These are the very reasons why we need an organization like CHAD advocating on the behalf of our community. The Section 504 is in place. You guys have gone out, surveyed members, gotten the data in, and overwhelmingly it's not working. And so now you're going to seek some guidance on how we can make some adjustments to improve the outcomes for those that are involved in the Section 504 plans. And without an organization like CHAD advocating on the community's behalf, this would really fall on deaf ears, and this well-intended law would continue to perform as it is, but which is based off the survey results. It's just completely inadequate, almost like it's sometimes doing more harm than good, just by the numbers that you shared.
Well, I think that it's true that because the schools do need this education, we have to have someone advocating for people with ADHD. And one of the things I want to explain is something that we're trying to have them put in the guidance is that the accommodations that most students get under 504 are things like sitting in the front of the room or getting extra time on tests. Those are great. That may help. But there's so much more that you can get under 504 that people don't know about, the schools don't know about. They don't realize that this can be part of a 504 plan, and parents certainly don't realize it either. You can request frequent feedback from the teacher, which keeps the student on task, computer-aided instruction, positive reinforcements all through the day, behavior intervention plans. You can even get an individual contract for your student that addresses particular problems that your student has, say, with time management or with chunking out a long-term assignment, rearranging class schedules. There are many, taping lectures, oral tests. I never knew about oral tests until my son went to college. I had no idea he could have gotten those in school. So there are a number of things that CHAD can do to educate the government, and we also are trying to teach the parents who are members of CHAD about their rights under Section 504. We have a whole program our committee has devised. We're putting a series of articles into Attention magazine starting in April with an article that's going to be about the summary of the survey results, as I mentioned, and it's also in the digital Attention going to include a model letter for members to ask their representatives in Congress to implore the Office of Civil Rights in the Department of Education to issue the guidance that we're seeking. And this model letter will have the language you can use. It also will have a link so that you can find your representative and your senator, their email, and email it to them. We're going to have, as I said, a series of articles in Attention. After that April issue, we will also have articles explaining when and how to file a complaint with OCR, and articles about seclusion and restraint, about bullying and Section 504, and parental rights, student and parental rights under Section 504. All of this will also go up on our website.
Excellent. It's great resource. Ingrid, I need to run to a break real quick. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about more what you guys are doing in the background. Again, if you're out there, go to chadd.org, check out the resources, and if you're not a member, sign up. It's a great organization. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this spirited conversation on Attention Talk Radio. We're talking, having a great conversation about 504 plans, and we talked about they're out there. They're not really working as well for those with ADD. Chad's done a survey. Chad's reaching out to try to make some adjustments. But to really have an impact here, really, for lack of better terms, Chad needs some resources to get the word out and to educate. That sounds like it's a massive undertaking. Oh, Ingrid, did I lose you? Hang on a second. I got her on mute. Bear with me. We're having a little bit of a technical difficulty. There, Ingrid, you're with us?
Yes, I am.
Sorry about
I
that.
Am.
So I got to believe to really turn this ship, it requires a fair amount of resources.
Yes, it does. I think that's why we are putting this model letter into the digital attention. We're hoping that our members will reach out to their representatives and senators in Congress so we can get a grassroots movement to get the guidance that we want from the Office of Civil Rights in the Department of Education. And this is guidance that would go out to school superintendents in all the public schools to tell them more about what is guidance that would explain a little bit about what is ADHD and how 504 should be administered for people with ADHD.
Is there, so you're reaching out to them. We're trying to educate the masses to try to kind of take a grassroots and have them, it's kind of a top-down, kind of bottom-up to kind of try to meet in the middle. And I have to say, as I listen to this and think about, it's how long will it take really to kind of get that there? Sometimes you begin to think, you want it now, but it's going to take some time, and the one thing I can say is that ever so slightly, if you're listening to the show and you participate, things change, because I got to tell you, Ingrid, in the period of time that I've been doing this show and reflecting back on the experts, it's actually been amazing to me to hear how much the ADHD community and how much improvement there's been in the last 15 years, and it seems to be accelerating. So while it sounds like it's going to take some time, to me there's an enormous amount of hope of the future because of what everybody in the community has been doing together and the fact that it's actually starting to move a little faster. Any comments on that?
I like your optimism, and I hope that it is borne out. I have to say that I differ a little bit in your evaluation simply because of the consensus that we seem to get from our survey that 504 was not working for students with ADHD. But Chad is really educating people, and we, not just our public policy committee, but the whole organization is trying to educate the public, and I do think that there is a somewhat greater awareness of ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
That's really essential for the schools.
Absolutely. Any final comments before we wrap this up?
No, but thank you very much for exploring this issue with me.
No, it was my thrill to do this, and we've been talking about 504, but really one of the things that I want to kind of bear out is I think, as I say, a strong CHAD is a strong ADHD community. We have somebody who's advocating, who's doing these surveys, getting the facts, talking to people on the Hill. It's really, really powerful. And the absence of somebody doing that, I think the outcomes that we have would even be that much worse. So with that, Ingrid, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Everybody, to learn more about CHAD, go to chadd.org. If you're not a member, consider being a member. If you haven't been to a conference, you need to consider going to a conference. And if you do go to a conference, come and see me. I'll definitely will be there. It'll be in November in New Orleans. So with that, take care, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio.